ओ हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। वी आर सीइंग द अनफोल्डमेंट ऑफ द मीनिंग्स द वर्ड सत्यम ज्ञानमनंतम ब्रह्म इन ब्रह्मानंदवल्ली। सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म। ब्रह्मविदाप्नोति परं तदेषाभ्युक्ता। सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेदनिहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सः ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति। वाय ऐ स्टॉप देर ब्रह्मणा विपश्चिता इति। दट इज वेर द ऋग् मंत्र एंड्स। ऋग्वेद मंत्र प्रेजेंटिंग टू इंपॉर्टेंट डेफिनेशंस ऑफ ब्रह्म the absolute reality introduced and in the opening sutra vakyam brahmavid and here the first definition you know we are seeing we have not yet gone to the second definition we are still in the first definition the first definition presented by the rig mantra is स्वरूप लक्षणम् सत्यम् ज्ञानम् अनन्तरम् अनन्तम् ब्रह्म। दोस् थ्री वर्ड्स् हैपन टू बी डिफाइनिंग वर्ड्स् डिफाइनिंग अड्जेक्टिव्स् लक्षण विशेषणानि। दे आर नॉट व्यावर्तक विशेषणानि। दे आर नॉट ऑर्डिनरी डेफिनेशंस and ordinary adjectives but they are defining adjectives lakshana visheshanani and those three words reveal the reality directly in terms of its nature by distinguishing the reality brahma from everything else which is not brahma therefore the definition is what direct definition swarupa lakshanam And the next definition presented by the same Rig Mantra is Tatastha Lakshanam, indirect definition of Brahma. The two definitions, one is direct definition, Swarupa Lakshanam, and other is Tatastha Lakshanam, an indirect definition. Let us not worry about the indirect definition now. The mantra presents one definition, which is Swarupa Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam is presented by the Upanishad herself, but comes later on. If I said by a slip of a tongue, the mantra presents two definitions, please make a correction. This Rig Mantra presents one definition, which is Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahma. Tatastha Lakshanam, the indirect definition, is presented by Upanishad, and that Lakshanam follows the Rig Mantra. Okay. So now we are seeing the Bhashyam, Shankara Bhagavad Pada's commentary on these three important defining adjectives, Satyam, Jnanam, and Anantam. So what is it we have really understood from the beginning now? Please be very clear. These three words are supposed to reveal, of course they do reveal, they will reveal the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, the abstract formless reality in terms of its nature. But for it to reveal the reality in terms of its nature, these three words distinguish the reality from everything else which is not Brahma. That is why they are said to be defining adjectives or definitions. So what the meaning of the first word, before we go to the actual meaning of the word Brahma, what is that first word, Satyam? What have you understood here? Satyam literally means that which is real. What is real? Real is that which does not undergo any changes at all. That which is absolutely changeless is real. You have to be with me for every word. That which is absolutely free from changes is. Change, absolutely changeless is real means this reality implied by the term Brahman has no gross changes such as birth and death, has no subtle changes in terms of growth, metamorphosis and decay. So no change whatsoever, to changeless. Okay. From if Brahman, which is real, is changeless, this reality is real and it is changeless. If it's changeless, means what? Being birthless and deathless, being free from subtle changes, Brahman is beginningless and endless. How do you say beginningless and endless? Because changeless. If it is beginningless and endless, it is what? Timeless. Timeless means eternal. Eternal means what? It has no cause. Beginningless means it has no cause. Causeless. Absolutely causeless. It is causeless, but still being real. It is the cause of everything else. Why? How do we say real is the cause of everything else? With reference to any product, any effect, the cause is real, the effect is mithya. The cause is real, effect is mithya. Your Brahman being real, the reality implied by the term being real, it is the cause of everything. But any cause must have its own cause. Every cause must have its own cause. But Brahman has no cause, because beginningless there were no cause, causeless. Therefore, absolute cause. Every cause having something else its cause is a relative cause. If wood is the cause with reference to a wooden table, a furniture, and the wood has a cause, the tree is the cause of the wood. Though every cause becomes a relative cause. Whereas Brahman is the uncaused, causeless, absolute cause. The cause of everything. Because it is real. Then, if Brahman is the cause of everything being real, any cause must be inert. Any cause will undergo changes. But being the absolute cause, it doesn't undergo any changes as real, as reality. The word Satyam itself states that it's a changeless absolute cause. At the same time, being a cause, it should not be mistaken for something inert, because any cause subject to change is an inert thing. It is not inert also. Therefore, this absolutely real, beginningless, changeless, causeless cause is not inert. The word jnanam, the next defining word, that word, makes it very clear. The reality is not inert. So we saw the meaning of the word jnanam also. We're still seeing the meaning of the word jnanam. Is it clear? I just briefed what all you understood as the meaning of the word Satyam. Okay. And jnanam, we understood already very clearly. The word jnanam can mean the knower, the subject of knowledge, can mean the object of knowledge, can mean an instrument of knowledge, can mean the knowledge of an object also. But here the word jnanam does not mean the knower or known or knowledge, because it does not mean any of these. This word, the jnanam, what is revealed by the word jnanam is subchangeless. The word satyam already revealed the reality as changeless. Being the real, it is changeless. Being the reality, being real, it is changeless. As it is changeless, it is not the knower, nor the knowledge or known. Again, it is not limited by the knower. If Brahman is knower, it will be limited by the knowledge and known. Brahman is a known, if it is limited by other two, the knower and knowledge. Brahman is also the reality implied by the term Brahman. Not only it is real, changeless reality, it is also the knowledge, pure knowledge, which is neither the knower known knowledge, which is neither the knower nor the known nor the knowledge. Because reality being changeless, it is not changeless, it is also actionless. Being changeless means being free from any of the accessories associated with the action. Therefore, being free from accessories associated with the action Brahman is actionless, but Brahman is not the karta or karma. Brahman is not subject of knowledge or object of knowledge or even the knowledge or any of the even instrument of knowledge. Again, Brahman is not of the act. Knowing is not an action in the part of the Brahman. Knowing is very surupam of Brahman, which also we understood. So Brahman is not limited by anything else. Brahman is not inert. Brahman is the very swarupam of the only truth of the knower, known and knowledge. And this reality implies the Brahman, which is free from this triputi bhedaha, knower, known, knowledge difference, is the only swarupam, only truth of the knower, known knowledge. It means without Brahman, without the reality implied by the term Brahman, there cannot be knower, there cannot be knowledge, there cannot be known. Cannot be the known also. But Brahman is not any of the three. He is free from this threefold difference. Triputi bhedaha. So Brahman is pure knowledge. So don't think the meanings are over. The meanings are continuing. We wait to become very clear. After understanding, we are going to find, slowly arrive at it. Okay. So last class, we left it there. So jnanam means ajnaptihi. Jnaptihi means avabodha, which is pure knowledge. Another word, no word is appropriate here still. Very close to the word jnanam, the pure knowledge is pure consciousness. It is bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha. Bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha means the word jnanam is the very existence of knower, known and knowledge. The truth of knower, known and knowledge. Knower, the known and the knowledge. The swarupam of this objective knowledge, the swarupam of the truth of the objective knowledge, the truth of the very knowledge, the source of all knowledge is Brahma. Therefore, bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha. Definitely Brahman is not the knower of anything. It means not the jnana kartru. Why? Because the word jnanam has the status of being the definition of Brahma, along with other two definitions, Satyam and Anantam. We understood all that. If you take any of these, Brahman, if you take any of these three meanings as Jnana Karta, or Jnana Karma, or Jnana Sadhanam, or as even Jnanam, we take it as knowledge of subject of knowledge, or object of knowledge, or instrument of knowledge, or knowledge of an object, then it will become limited by other karakams. Therefore, it is not limited, because the word Anantam negates. The word Anantam, which means limitless, that word releases the word Jnanam from being subject to any limitation. So Brahman is not the Karta, not the Karma or Karanam or Jnana, even the knowledge of an object, that it cannot be limited by anything else. It is of the nature of limitlessness. As we understood. And that is where Shankara Bhagavatpada presented a quotation from Chandogya Upanishad, where he talked about Bhuma. And Bhuma is that which does not know anything else. In the context, in the Purupakshi's doubt also was clarified, Brahman does not know anything else, Brahman does not know itself. Does not know itself, does not know anything else. That sentence gives two meanings. One is, there's a second thing other than Brahma. for Brahman to know anything else. There's no nothing else is there. There's no other thing. Therefore, Brahman cannot know a second thing, another thing. Again, Brahman is not associated with any of the accessories associated with the action. Therefore, Brahman is not the knower at all. Brahman does not know itself. Brahman does not know anything else. But means knowing is not an action on the part of Brahma. Knowing is the Swarupam of Brahma. It was also made very clear. Then we have come to, now I'm repeating all these things just to therefore, last sentence we saw, I'm reading the last sentence where we left to come to today's class. Are you all with me? Okay. Very, I enjoy what I'm teaching. I don't know how you all find it. We'll come to the next class. Now, in today's class, I'm reading the last sentence where we left. Swatmanicha Beda Abhavant Vijnana Anupapatihi. Understand? Very interesting. Beda Abhavat. There is no difference in Brahma. There is no difference in Brahma. There is no division in Brahma. Due to the absence of division or difference on the part of Brahman, the self, Atma, Vijnana Anupapattihi, there is impossibility of the act of knowing. Okay? Anupapattihi, there is untenability, impossibility of the act of knowing on the part of Brahma, due to the absence of difference or division. Therefore, again, in Upanishad, how is Brahman presented in the whole, all the Upanishads uniformly? The word Upanishad itself means what? Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman. Which means all the Upanishads serve as instruments of knowledge of Brahman. Which means, how is Brahman presented here? Here, the absolute reality, the ultimate only truth of everything that is here, implied by the term Brahman, is presented as something to be known, to be discovered. Therefore, definitely Brahman is not the knower at all. So we have atra jnayatvena eva viniyuktatvat. As Brahman has the status of being presented as something to be arrived at, understood, something to be known, Brahman is not anything associated with any of the karakas. Okay, clear? Clear or not? Okay. I'll go to the next one. So, now comes the Purvapakshi. This is a new lesson. Now, what's the new lesson today? Here the Purvapakshi comes with the doubt. What does he have this doubt? Let me tell you beforehand. Already it was made very clear. Brahman is not the subject of knowledge, not the knower. If we take Brahman as the knower, then there'll be the problem of being limited by knowledge and the known. Brahman cannot be the object of knowledge also, because then it'll be limited by the knower and subject of knowledge and subject of knowledge and the knowledge. The word Anantam does not allow to take that meaning. Anantam means limitless, therefore, Brahman is not subject to any of the limitations. If Brahman is taken to the knower or known or knowledge, then Brahman will be limited by other objects, other things which are being different from other. Brahman has no bhedaha. There's no difference, only part of Brahman. Brahman is very swarupma of all the three that is implied here. That's where we stopped. Now, what is Purapakshi's doubt? Okay, Brahman is not the knower, I understand. Because Anantam means limitless, so Brahman cannot be limited by the known and the knowledge. Brahman cannot be the known also. If we take Brahman as the known object of knowledge, then also there will be problem of being limited by the knower and the knowledge. Okay, we understand. What is doubt? He says, maybe the knower is also Brahma. Brahman is the knower. Brahman is the known also. Knower also, Brahman is the knower. Brahman should be taken as the known also. Knower and the known, both. No, Brahman is both knower and the known. Brahman knows. He says, which means, one part of Brahman knows the other part of Brahman. Is it possible to take that way? Okay, that's his doubt. See how beautiful it is. All doubts should be clarified. Okay. Ekaha eva atma. He says, Ekaha eva atma. The one and the only atma. Nyayatvena jnatrutvena cha ubhayata bhavati. Iti chet. If it is said, iti chet means what? Iti uchyate chet. If it is said, the one and the only Atma alone is here, having the status of being the knower and also having the status of being the known. Atma alone is there as the knower. Atma alone is there as the known. Jnatrutvena ekaha eva atma bhavati. Jnayatvena cha ekaha eva atma bhavati. Ubhayatha. As both knower and the known, atma alone is. Okay, ubhayatha. As both. As the one having the status of being the knower, as the one having the status of being the known, Atma alone is there as both. Ekaha eva Atma, jnayatvena, jnatrutvena cha, ubhayata bhavati, iti chet, if it is said, how is this meaning? Is it okay? That's the question, Purapakshi's question. The chet comes once if, isn't it? Only if. Shankar Vadapadag immediately has to give an answer. No. Whole class has been, the previous class was on what? Repeatedly saying Brahman has no, some Brahman is changeless. Therefore, is what? Changeless, therefore not associated with any karakam. The Brahman cannot be any of the karakas, subject or object or instrument, nothing. Brahman is free from all of them, already has been established. Still the Purapakshi comes with this doubt. Gayatvena, jnatrutvena cha, ubhayata, ekaha eva atma bhavati iti chet. Na. Na means no. Why Brahman cannot be both knower and the known? He says, Yugapate, not, the word Yugapat is an indeclinable word, which means simultaneously. Yugapate, jnatrutvena, jnayatvena cha, atmana bhavati. மீன் யுகபத் சைமல்டேனியஸ்லி ஆத்மா எனிதிங் ஆத்மா கெனாட் பி சைமல்டேனியஸ்லி த நோவர் அவேர்னஸ் த நோவர் த நோயிங் நாலெட் அண்ட் தி இனர்ட் நோன் ஆப்ஜெக்ட் சி பி வெரி கேர்ஃபுல் இஃப் வி டேக் ஆத்மா டு பி போத் நோவர் அண்ட் த நோன் வாட் வில் பி தி ப்ராப்ளம் The knower is always of the nature of consciousness. The known is always of the nature of inertness. Jnātuhu swarūpam chaitanyam. Jnēyasya svabhāvaha vato jadatvam. Jnēyat jnēyam tajjadam. Anything known must be Anything known is always of the nature of inertness. Anything known is inert. Yad jnayam tad jadam. Jnayasya jadattam asti. The known is always inert. The knower must be what now? Cannot be inert. Knower must be conscious being. Which means, he says Atma is, when he means Atma is both knower and the known, What he means is Atma is both knowledge and inert thing. The inert thing can mean by ignorance. Atma is both knowledge and ignorance. Knowledge is Atma, ignorance is also Atma. Consciousness is Atma, inertness is also Atma. That's what he means when he says, why can't we say, The knower is also Atma, known is also Atma. Of course, knower is Atma, known is Atma, everything is Atma. But Atma is not the knower, Atma is not the known. Atma definitely is not, Atma means Brahma. The all pervasive reality, absolute reality implied with term Brahman, the Atma definitely is not the knower, not the known. It can't be both simultaneously. Otherwise also it is not the knower and the known. Why? Because here, if we take that way, when he says Atma is both, Atma has jnatrutvam and jnayatvam, what Purupakshi means is Atma is both knowledge and ignorance. Atma is both consciousness and matter. That what he means, inert matter. So here, in this context, I have to remind you of one thing. When you see it to your eyes, okay, you're one individual human being, one part of the individual body is what? The eyes. Eyes can see his own legs and feet. The seen are his parts. Legs are his part of the individual. Hands are part of the individual. Eyes also form part of the individual. But eyes can see the legs and feet. Okay. One individual can be the seer of his own body. And the seer, he can be, isn't it? Eyes are the seeing. Seeing eyes form part of the individual. Seeing legs and hands is also form part of the body, individual. And Pooja Swami used to joke, okay? When mosquito comes and bites the back, without asking your permission, the hand goes to the back to scratch the back, okay? Which means your own hand is scratching, your own hand scratches your own back, which means The scratching hand is part of the individual. The scratched back is also part of the individual. Like that, is it possible for Atma to be the subject of knowing, the object of knowing, both to be? But can Atma be both? Subject of action, object of action, both are the same individual. The same way, is it possible? That's what Purupakshi's question here. Therefore, ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஆச்சாரிய செட் வாட் நோ ந யுகபத் நாட் அட் ஆல் இட் இஸ் நாட் பாசிபிள் ஆத்மா டு பி போத் நோவர் இன் த நோன் சைமல்டேனியஸ்லி தட் இஸ் ஒன் திங் வாட் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் ஆன்சர் இஸ் வாட் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் ஆன்சர் கிவன் இஸ் ஹி கிவ்ஸ் த ரீசன் அனம்ஷத்வாத் அனம்ஷத்வாத் ஐ வாண்ட் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தி வேர்ட் அம்ஷஹ மீன்ஸ் பார்ட் அம்ஷஹ நாட் அம்ஷுஹு பி கேர்ஃபுல் ஐ டாட் யூ இன் ஆதித்ய ஹிருதயம் அம்ஷுஹு மீன்ஸ் ரே ஆஃப் லைட் சன் இஸ் அம்ஷு மான் டோன்ட் டேக் தட் மீனிங் ஹியர் அம்ஷஹ அம்ஷஹ மீன்ஸ் அன் ஆஸ்பெக்ட் அ ஃபேக்டர் but it means a part e amshaha but amshatvam means what having the status of having parts is amshat anamshatvam means not having the parts அனம்ஷத்வாத் அனம்ஷத்வாத் டியூ டு தி பார்ட்லெஸ்னஸ் பார்ட்லெஸ்னஸ் இஸ் தி ஸ்வரூப் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் வி மீன் டாக் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் தி வெரி வேர்ட் ஆத்மா இம்ப்ளைஸ் வாட் ஆல் பர்வேசிவ்னஸ் இஸ் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் தி ரியாலிட்டி வி டு நாட் நோ வாட் இஸ் இட் ஆல் பர்வேசிவ் ரியாலிட்டி வி டு நாட் நோ All pervasiveness being the nature of the reality, it is implied by the term Atma. Limitlessness being the nature of the reality, it is implied by the term Anantam. But the reality is like one indivisible, undivided, partless whole. Like space. Space has no divisions. Space is undivided. Space is indivisible and space has no parts. With one part called eye, other part called hands and legs can be seen. With one part called hand, other part called back can be scratched. Because partful human body, therefore it is possible. Whereas Atma being one indivisible, undivided, partless whole like space. Space is the nearest example. In fact, understand? Because Atma pervades even space. Being partless. Anamshatvat, due to the partlessness. As one indivisible, undivided whole. Atma cannot be both subject of action. And the object of action simultaneously. In fact, Atma cannot, already it has been established very clearly, Atma is changeless in nature. Therefore, Atma is not inert. Therefore, it is not associated with any of the karakas. We already understood that very clearly. Okay. அனம்ஷத்வாத் அனம்ஷத்வாத் ஆத்மனஹ ஜேயத்வம் நாஸ்தி ஞாத்ருத்வம் நாஸ்தி காரகத்வம் நாஸ்தி யூ ஹாவ் டு சப்போஸ் ஆட் தி சென்டென்சஸ் அனம்ஷத்வாத் ஆத்மனஹ காரகத்வம் நாஸ்தி ஆஸ் ஆத்மா ஹேஸ் பார்ட்லெஸ்னஸ் இஸ் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா ஆத்மா இஸ் பார்ட்லெஸ் இட் ஹேஸ் நோ status of being associated with any of the actions. Okay. Then he says, Nahi niravayavasya yugapat jnaya jnatrutva upapattihi. Niravayavasya, Atma is niravayavaha. Avayavaha yasya nasti. சஹ நிரவயவஹ அவயவாக எஸ்ய பிரம்மணஹா நாஸ்தி தத் பிரம்ம நிரவயவம் பிரம்ம நிரவயவக ஆத்மா. அவயவக மீன்ஸ் அ பார்ட், ஹேண்ட்ஸ் ஆர் அவயவாக, அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட். நிரவயவக மீன் வாட்? பார்ட்லெஸ், லிம்ப்லெஸ். ஆத்மா ஹேஸ் நோ லிம்ப்ஸ், ஹேண்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் ஹெட்ஸ் எக்ஸெட்ரா. ஆத்மா ஹேஸ் நோ பார்ட்ஸ். நிரவயவக, நிரவயவான் யூ கேன் சே, ஆர் நிரவயவக. நிரவயவசிய யுகபத்து ஜேய ஞாத்ருத்த உபபத்திஹி நஹி நஹி. உபபத்திஹி, ஓகே, so there's no possibility at all of having the status of being the known and the knower simultaneously for an atma which is absolutely partless. Niravayavasya atmanaha yugapate gyayatva gnyatrutva upapattihi na. Upapattihi, possibility. So there is no possibility of having the status of being the knower and the known simultaneously for the absolute reality, Atma, which is partless, for a partless Atma, for a partless Brahman. This is a niramshatvat. Already he gave the reason. Then he further he explains. Niramshatvat, due to the partlessness. Now he is what now? Niravayavaha, another word. And having said that, so he clarified the doubt for a Purupakshi. Suppose if Atma is a game, if Atma is said to have the status of being the known, if Atma is taken to be the known, then what would have happened? Atma becomes any one of the objects, noble objects like pot, etc. Pot, table, chair, like any one of the known objects. Atma, if Atma is the known, Atma would have become one of the objects like pot, etc. But here, if Atma is like one of the knowable, known objects like pot, etc., then why do we need the Shastram as the Pramanam to know Atma? We can use our eyes, we can use our ears. If Atma is like one of the objects like pot, then already you have enough pramanams. You could have already easily known Atma through these other pramanams. But pramanam, we are going to understand the meaning of the pramanam also in this context. Pramanam is that only pramanam can be considered as a pramanam only if it reveals something uniquely which cannot be revealed by any other pramanam. Okay? Now, we say eyes are pramanam. So, our seeing power, chakshurindriyam, serves as a pramanam, serves as a means of knowledge of the object called light and the opaque things which reflect the light. So these light and opaque things which reflect the light cannot be revealed by hearing power or power of smelling, power of taste. Only seeing power can reveal. That's why seeing power has this status of being the pramanam. Similarly, hearing power has a status of being the pramanam, because only sound can be revealed only by hearing power, not by any other pramanam, isn't it? So every pramanam has the status of the pramanam, because what is revealed by the pramanam can given pramanam cannot be revealed by any other pramanam. Okay. Now what about the Vedanta Shastram, Veda Shastram? We all have tremendous reverence for Shastram because it is a unique pramanam. It's a unique means of knowledge of this absolute reality, ultimate truth. What is revealed by Vedanta Shastram cannot be revealed by any other pramanam. That's why Shastram has the status of being the pramanam. What is revealed by the Shastram cannot be revealed by anything else. And here Shastram has been declared as the unique pramanam, Shastram, the only pramanam to arrive at the truth, Brahman. Therefore, he says, if Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma, is something to be known like any known objects like pot, etc., then even the Shastra study and the imparting of the knowledge of the Shastram will be purposeless and meaningless. Isn't it? Therefore, he says, Shankara Bhagavatpada says, why is he saying all this? Atma is not the subject of knowledge. Atma is not the object of knowledge. Atma cannot be both simultaneously also. So he says, Atmanaha cha ghatadivat vigneyatve jnana upadesha anarthakyam. Jnana upadeshasya anarthakyam syat. Anarthakyam means what? Meaninglessness, purposelessness. Anarthakyam, noun. Anartha means adjective, meaningless. So, jnana upadeshaha anarthaha bhavishyati. Jnanopadeshaha anarthaha bhavishyati. Jnanopadeshasya anarthakyam bhavishyat. What does it mean? There will be purposelessness, meaninglessness of the imparting of the knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastram. Jnana upadeshaha means what? Jnanopadeshaha. Upadeshaha means the teaching. So, imparting of the knowledge, the teaching of the subject matter of the Upashastram will be meaningless. So, we should take it, there will be meaninglessness, purposelessness of the imparting of the knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastram. If Atma has the status of being the known, like any known object, such as pot, etc. Is it clear? Atmanaha vigneyatve. Atmanaha vigneyatve sati. If Atma has the status of being the known, ghatadivat, like any knowable object such as pot, etc., then there will be meaninglessness, purposelessness of the teaching of the subject matter of the Shastram. Jnana upadesha anarthakyam syat. Therefore, what? Definitely, Atma is very unique. Atma is not the knower. Atma is not the known. Atma is that which is the very truth of everything, without which there cannot be knower, there cannot be known, there cannot be knowledge, there cannot be the universe, there cannot be anything. Okay. Again, he says, continues. Is it clear? No. Nahi ghata adivat prasiddhasya jnanopadeshah arthavan. Nahi. Here. Ghatadivat prasiddhasya. Jnana upadeshaha, jnanasya upadeshaha, jnanopadeshaha nahi arthavan. See, ghatadi, here we have, this sentence can be understood in two ways. That is, see, first, ghatadivat prasiddhasya. Prasiddham means what? Well-known objects. Well-known objects such as pot, etc. Prasiddha means well-known here. If Atma is prasiddha, if Atma is also well known as an object, like the pot, etc. If Atma is well known as an object like pot, etc., then jnana upadeshaha na arthavan. Indeed, the imparting of the knowledge, the teaching of the subject matter of the Shastram is not meaningful. Arthavan means meaningful. Na arthavan means not meaningful, means meaningless. Jnana upadeshaha na arthavan. The teaching of the subject matter of the Shastram, imparting of the knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastram is not at all meaningful, becomes meaningless if Atma is well known like a noble object, like a pot. Okay, again, the same meaning becomes repeated here. What was conveyed in the previous sentence? Again, it is repeated here. One meaning. But here, the same meaning cannot be conveyed two different sentences. Not necessary. Already is very clear. Shastram is a unique pramanam, where the only means of knowing, arriving at the truth, etc. We know very well. Therefore, same meaning. The whole Shastra teaching will be purposeless and meaningless if Brahman is taken to be as one of the objects, known objects like pot, etc. Already it has been conveyed. Therefore, what is said here? Ghatadivat prasiddhasya. Nahi. Ghatadivat prasiddha. Nahi ghatadivat prasiddha atma. Atma is not well known like any objects like pot. Therefore, jnanopadeshaha arthavan. Atma is not a well-known object like pot, etc. Therefore, what? Jnanopadeshaha arthavan. The imparting of the teaching, the knowledge of the subject matter, Shastram, is meaningful, purposeful. And here, you have something totally unknown. It's very, this is what Pooja Swamiji is very unique, very different. He doesn't stop here. Now, what Swamiji should say? Is Atma known or unknown? If Atma is totally unknown, totally unknown. Okay. It is not possible for you to have a desire to know the Atma. Very important. If Atma is totally unknown to us, It is impossible for us to have the desire to know the author. Because desire to know, desire is always possible to know something, to buy something, to get something, of already something known. You can never have a desire for something unknown. So Atma is not something totally unknown. Swamiji used to say this, unique in his example, you can never have a desire for Gagabugai. You can never meditate upon Gagabugai, he used to say. Why? How can you desire for something unknown? Do you want a mango? Yes, you meet a yes. You want something else to eat. If something known to you, something which you like, if it is said, yes, I want. So desire is always for something known. So even desire for knowledge, a Brahman is not possible if Atma is, Brahman is totally unknown. If it is totally known also, there's no need for you to have the desire to know. Because already it is known. Desire to know is possible only if it is not known totally. Only if it is unknown totally, then you cannot have desire to know. If it is known totally also, you cannot have desire to know. It must be partially known, it must be partially unknown. It must be adequately evident that you have a desire to know Brahman. It is known in terms of its existence. As knowledge of your own existence. As knowledge of the existence of the world. Therefore, tell it some extra information for you to remember, isn't it? Totally known need not be known. Totally unknown cannot be known. Desire to know is not possible. They were partially known, partially unknown. Adequately evident. How adequately evident? Adequately evident to be able to mistake it for something else. So error, erroneous perception of Atma itself is possible because of this, you know, partial knowledge or adequate, you know, evident, because adequately evident. Okay. Therefore, now, Shrimad Bhagavatapada moves on to the next word. See, when a given word is explained, the another word also becomes explained well. You'll see how he connects all the three words. You understand all these three words being mutually complementary. Shrimad Bhagavatapada says, Tasmat. As Atma is not something which is well known like the pot, etc., ordinary object, the Jnanopadeshaha Arthavan, teaching the subject matter of the Shastram, is meaningful. Tasmat, therefore, Jnatrutve sati Anantya Anupapattihi. Okay, Anantyam is noun, limitlessness. Anantam is equal to limitless. Anantyam means limitlessness. Anantyam means infinitude. Anantam means infinite. So, Anantya Anupapattihi. There's impossibility of being limitless. There'd be impossibility of limitlessness being the nature of Brahman and Atma. Jnatrutve sati. If Brahman has the status of being the known. If Brahman has the status of being the known, if Brahman is like an object like pot, etc., then anantyam, anantya anupapattihi, the impossibility means what? It would be impossible to say Brahman is limitless. Anupapattihi, there will be impossibility of limitlessness being the nature of Brahma implied by the term anantam. If Brahman has the status of being the known, jnatrutve sati, Sari Saptami expression, okay? When Brahman is taken to be something which has the status of being the known, then ananti anupapattihi, it is not possible to say Brahman is limitless. Whereas the following word is what another word which comes with the jnanam? Anantam. Anantam is the word. Anantam means limitless. What does the word ananta mean? Before he goes there, he is going to say that. Anantam means, we are going to see the meaning of the word anantam later on. Now he says first, san matratvam cha anupapannam. Okay, san matratvam. The word is san, if you break it, sat. So Shankara Bhagavatpada now again reminds us of the meaning of the word satyam. He goes back to the meaning of the word satyam. And he said that satyam, and he explained the word satyam with reference to another mantra from Chandogya Upanishad. In Chandogya Upanishad, absolute reality, the ultimate truth, is implied by the term sat. It means sat means existence, pure existence. And that sat, pure existence, the word sat meaning pure existence is reality. Alone is satyam real. The pure existence is not subject to change, absolutely changeless, all pervasive, timeless reality, which alone is real satyam. What is satyam? Sat is satyam. So he remembers that meaning, and he talks about it. San matratvam cha anupapannam jnana kartrutvadi visheshavatve sati. Again he says, Jnana kartrutvadi visheshavatve sati. If this absolute reality implied by the term Brahman has the status of being jnana karta, etc., instead of being the knower, etc., then sanmatratam cha anupapannam, it is not possible for the reality to be what? Sat, sanmatratam, being mere pure existence. Why? Because, why? What is pure existence? Sanmatram cha satyam. San matratvam, you know, pure existence alone is satyam, reality. And reality is what? What is satyam? Changeless. If reality is pure changeless existence, then it is not possible to say Brahman cannot have the status of being the jnana karta. Jnana kartrutvadi visheshavatve sati sanmatratam cha anupapannam. Upapannam means possible. Anupapannam, not possible, impossible. Why? Because sanmatram means what? Pure existence. Matram here, pure existence. Sat means existence. Matram here, pure existence. Mere existence, what? Pure existence. E satyam, sanmatram cha satyam, and pure existence is real, changeless reality. That is known from where? Another Shruti, another Upanishadic statement. Tat satyam sa atma. Tat satyam sa atma. The word tat there means sat. And sat is satyam. Pure existence. Sat means what? San matra. Pure existence is real, real changeless reality. This is known from another Upanishadic statement, a Chandogya Upanishad. Upanishad. So, seventh mantra, the eighth section, the sixth chapter. Therefore, he says, Tasmat Satya Ananta Shabdabhyam. So here slowly Shankara Bhagavata, he brought in what now? The word existence. Pure existence is the implied meaning of the word satyam. Lakshyartha of the word satyam is pure existence. Pure existence is real. Because existence is not subject to change. It is from all changes, so beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless, eternal, causeless. Okay. So, and this tasmat, satya ananta shabdabhyam saha. Therefore, along with other two words, satyam and anantam, viseshanatvena, as a defining adjective, jnana shabdasya prayogat, bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha. What is the meaning of the word jnanam? He says, bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha. Bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha. The word jnanam is the very existence, very truth of everything that is existent. The word jnanam implies the very truth of everything that is existent in terms of knower, known knowledge. The knower is, the truth of the knower is jnanam brahma. The truth of the knowledge is jnanam brahma. The truth of the known is jnanam brahma. The truth of everything that has exist, that is existent is jnanam brahma. This is the meaning of the expression bhava sadhanaha jnana shabdaha. The word jnanam is what? Bhava sadhanaha. Bhava sad, bhavaha means existence. Bhava sadhanaha means the word jnanam implies that which is in the form of existence of everything that exists. And everything that exists can be reduced to what? Three. The knower, knowledge, and the known. Is it clear? Okay. The four. Why this is the meaning? Because jnana shabdasya viseshanattam asti. Jnana shabdaha has this word jnanam, has this status of being the definition of Brahman, along with other two defining words, satyam and anantam. The word jnanam implies the pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, the very truth, the swarupam of everything that exists in terms of knower, known and knowledge. Satya ananta shabdabhyam saha viseshanatvena jnanashabdasya prayogat. As there is usage of the word jnanam, the status of being the defining adjective, along with other two words, satyam and anantam, the word jnanam implies the pure consciousness, which is the very existence of everything that exists.
What's the meaning of prayogat?
Usage. Prayogaha, use. Usage. Prayogaha, use. Jnana shabdasya prayog. As this word jnanam has been used in the context of defining Brahman along with other two words, satyam and anantam, it only means the very truth of everything that exists. Is it clear now? Yeah. Sometimes I try to translate exactly what she tried. That translation I want to give. That's why it may sound funny. Okay, it doesn't sound like English, isn't it? I try to translate literally. Because you also pick up your language, isn't it? Got it now? Okay. So, satya anantabhyam tasmat, therefore means what? Because of this reason, because of the explanation given with reference to Chandogya Upanishad mantra. In Chandogya Upanishad, the word satyam implies pure existence. So the same is the meaning here also. Understand? So satyam is real and real is pure existence. The implied meaning of the word satyam is pure existence. Changeless, pure existence. Okay. Tasmat, therefore, satya ananta shabdabhyam saha, along with other two defining adjectives, satyam and anantam, viseshanatvena, as an adject, defining word, as a definition, jnanasabdasya prayogaha asti, the use of the word jnanam. The use of the word jnanam is in the form of an adjective defining as a definition of Brahman along with the other two words, satyam and anantam. Therefore, what is the implied meaning of the word jnanam? The literal meaning don't take. Literal meanings are what? Knower, known, knowledge, everything, anything can be literal meaning. The implied meaning, vachyartha, not laksha, lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word jnanam is bhavasadhanaha. Bhavasadhanaha means what? Jnanashabdaha bhavasadhanaha means it is the very existence of everything that exists. Everything that exists can be reduced to three words. Knower, known and knowledge. Beautiful. Okay. Next. Jnanam Brahma iti. Jnanam Brahmeti. कर्तृत्वादि कारक निवृत्त्यर्थम मृदादिवत् अचिद्रूपता निवृत्त्यर्थम च प्रयुज्यते. नाउ ही एक्सप्लेन्स वेरी ब्यूटिफुली हैविंग क्लारिफाइड मीनिंग अदोड ज्ञानम. नाउ अगेन ही इज व्हाई दिस वर्ड ज्ञानम कम्स अलोंग विद द वर्ड्स अलोंग विद द वर्ड सत्यम अनंतम. व्हाई कम्स किमर्थम ज्ञान शब्द किमर्थम प्रयुज्यते. Of course, स्वरूप निर्धारणार्थम. Of course, ज्ञान शब्द is used here to, of course, to reveal the nature of the reality. To arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, importantly. But here, not only for arriving at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing, also for negating. Very important. You go to enjoy this class later on. ज्ञानम ब्रह्म इति इज एक्सप्रेशन. ज्ञानम ब्रह्म द वर्ड ज्ञानम इज यूज एज अ डेफिनेशन ऑफ ब्रह्मन. प्रयुज्यते इज यूज्ड. इज इट क्लियर नाउ. प्रयोग नाउन यूज यूसेज. प्रयुज्यते इज यूज्ड पैसिव वॉइस सेंटेंस. ज्ञानम ब्रह्म इति प्रयुज्यते. In the sentence Jnanam Brahma, the word Jnanam is used as a defining word of Brahman. For what purpose? Kimartham? Nivrityartham. For the purpose of eliminating, for the purpose of removing. Removing what? Karakadi karaka nivrityartham. சரி, கர்த்தத்வாதி காரக நிவத்தியர்த்தம். சி, பிரம்மன் இஸ் ஆஃப் த ஆஃப் பியூர் நாலெட்ஜ் மீன்ஸ் ஆஸ் பியூர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் ஆஸ் பியூர் நாலெட்ஜ் பிங் வெரி ஸ்வரூபம் ஆஃப் ஆல் தி காரகாஸ். பிரம்மன் இஸ் நாட் பிரம்மன் இஸ் சேஞ்ச்லெஸ். தேர்ஃபோர் இட் இஸ் ஆக்ஷன்லெஸ். Being actionless, it is not associated with any of the accessories associated with the action. So Brahman is not karta, not karma, not karanam, not apadanam, not sampradanam, not adhikaranam. Brahman is not anything. So kartrutva adi karaka nivrityartham, for the purpose of eliminating. The karakas, the accessories associated with the action, such as the doer, the subject of action, etc. Kartrutvadi karaka nivrityartham jnanam brahma iti prayujyate. The word jnanam is used here as a defining word, specifically for removing, eliminating the karakas, accessories associated with the action, such as subject of action, etc. One purpose. Second purpose is what? Mridadivat achidrupata nivrityartham prayujyate. And also for removing Achidrupata. So for removing the inertness on the part of Atma, like clay, etc. Any cause like clay definitely is inert. So mridadivat achidrupata. Achidrupata means inertness. Achid means inert. Achid rupata means inertness. Achid rupata nivrityartham, for the purpose of eliminating the inertness like the causes like pot, clay, etc., on the part of Brahman. This word jnanam is used as a defining word. So inertness is negated on the part of Brahman. All the action, all the accessories associated with the actions are negated on part of Brahman. So what do you want to say? Brahman is absolutely actionless. Brahman is absolutely free from anything which is inert. So these two, for the purpose of removing these two, jnanam brahma iti prayujyate. The word jnanam is used as a defining word of Brahman along with other two words specifically for removing these misconceptions. The Brahman can be mistaken to be something which associates with the karakas. No. There's no karakas. No access. Brahman is free from all karakas associated with the action, such as subject of action, etc. And any cause like clay is subject to change, also inert. Is inert in nature. So Brahman is not of the nature of inertness, like clay, etc. For removing these, for the purpose of removing, eliminating these notions, misconceptions, the word jnanam is presented here as defining word of the word Brahman. Okay, with this, now jnana shabdasya vyakhyanam. Jnana shabda vishaye bhashyam temporarily is stopped. He'll pick up again later on. Understand? I want to remember the meaning of the word bhava sadhanaha. I'll explain again later on. Now he begins the analysis of the word anantam here onwards. So shall we see the analysis of the word anantam tomorrow? Actually, I was so enthusiastic today. I wanted to finish a little more of this bhashyam. I want to cover a little more, but I had to repeat a little bit for the sake of explaining this. It's okay. See, even though we understand what cannot be the meaning of these words, finally, when you complete the whole Rig Mantra, you would have understood Brahman. But we had to, with all patience, we had to wait. Still, Satyam is over, Jnanam is over in two classes, in all these classes. Anantam will begin tomorrow. It's all right? Okay. Om Brahma Vida Apnoti Param Tadesha Bhyukta Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Yovedanihi Tanguhayam Parame Vyoman Soshnute Sarvan Kaman Saha Brahmana Vipaschiteti. Again, this Taitya Upanishad is something which is very love, very much, because Pujya Swamiji loves the Upanishad so much. In the unfolding Upanishad, every class he will laugh and smile, and he was presenting himself as Brahma. That is, the unfoldment was such. Something which we always enjoyed his classes, that we can never forget those things. Okay, we'll see tomorrow, okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. See you in one last time.
Swamini, can I ask one question? Oh.
Yeah.
I have still some doubt with when Shankara says that jnana, he uses both words jnaptihi and avabodha, and both words are not like
they're not the same root, different roots.
The meaning of both words is not really like consciousness or pure knowledge, but it's more and more like realization. So I find them both confusing.
No. Actually, see, the avabodha also means knowledge. Bodha derived from the root buddha. Noun bodha means knowledge. Like you come across the same word, tattva bodha, knowledge of the truth, isn't it? There bodha means knowledge. Avabodha also means understanding knowledge. So jnaptihi also means the same jnanam only. It's a sthilinga shabdaha. Jnanam, jnaptihi mean the same. Jnanam is a neuter gender word. Jnaptihi is a feminine gender word. All three words mean the same. All three words can give you the meaning of, simple meaning of knowledge. Knowledge only. The jnanam at least can mean what? Knowledge as well as the gerund, knowing. It can mean the knowing, the act, the knowing. But the idea is, jnanam also involves a process. Knowing involves a process, isn't it?
Yes.
So it can be taken to be what? Action. So here, that's why there I told already, I'll explain, even though the word jnaptihi also, stilinga shabdaha, that's all. Avabodha has a pullinga shabdaha, that's all. Words derived from two different roots. Jnaptihi from jna root, avabodha from buddha root. The meaning is the same. Knowledge, knowing. Knowledge, that's all.
But both mean understanding too. Yeah, both.
Yeah, even then, those words also can be taken to be what? They also can mean subject of knowledge, object of knowledge, instrument of knowledge, or knowledge of the object.
Okay.
But here, no. Not even though the word jnanam can mean all those things, still the word jnanam does not mean any of those words, any of those meanings associated with the karakas. It's a knower karaka, subject of action, known object of action, karanam, instrument of action, jnanam, the object of knowledge of object, isn't it? Vritti jnanam. No, not any things. But it is the bhava sadhanaha means. That's why initially he used the term bhava sadhanaha. Again, he ended the word, ended the same expression he used, bhava sadhanaha. Jnana shabdaha bhava sadhanaha. Bhava sadhanaha means bhavam sadhanoti. Bhavam sadhanoti iti bhava sadhanaha. Sadhanoti means what? It accomplishes the sense of existence. Existence of what? Existence of everything, anything that exists.
Okay.
And everything that exists can be reduced to the known. Knowledge and known. Isn't it? Drip drishyam. Option two, nothing is there here. Everything else can be reduced to what? Known. Including the knowledge. So here it is not anything. Have you clarified your doubt? Yes. Because jnaptihi also doesn't mean something. Jnaptihi also means the same only. But that is why the word bhava sadhanaha clarifies it. The word bhavaha means thought. Bhavaha also means what? Noun form of bhudat, existence, presence. Presence or existence? Taittiriya Upanishad is such a beautiful. Upanishad Shankara Bhagavad's commentary is wonderful and Pooja Swami's unfoldment is much, much more wonderful. Isn't it? There's no ambiguity here. Swamiji's teaching is so clear, no ambiguity here. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. See you later, exactly in 55 minutes.